Israel, Amim Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Life, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today by Morton Wishengrad is entitled Pugnacious Commodore and is based upon an original monograph by Dr. Abram Kanoff. Featured as Uriah P. Levy is Leon Janney. Roger DeCoven is the narrator. When the Republic was new. Oh, yes, in those days, Philadelphia Harbor was something for a boy to see. The smell of the cargoes, the rising of the masts, the full-rigged ships rolling on the tide, waiting for a favoring slant of breeze. Cutters, yawls, staysail schooners, brigantines, mighty three masters. Ships for a boy to see and hunger after. Especially for a 10-year-old boy in the year 1802. Philadelphia Harbor, the year 1802, and a boy.
Are you Captain Moffat?
I am.
I'm told you need a cabin boy for the voyage.
So, what manner of cabin boy would I be in need of?
Me.
Well, what does me know about a vessel?
I know the rigging of a vessel.
Do you know fore from main and main from mizzen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's the rig of this ship?
Cutter rig, sir. Gaff, mainsail, and topsail.
Good. Very good. You running away, boy?
Yes.
They beat you?
No, sir.
Well, why are you running away?
I wish to follow the sea. My father will not hear of it.
What manner of man is your father?
He's a merchant. For him, the sea is only a highway for commerce.
Oh. Well, what does it mean to you?
Do you require a cabin boy, sir?
What's your name, son?
Uriah Levy, sir.
You go on board, Miss Levy. You are hired for the voyage.
A 10-year-old boy went out on a voyage. An 11-year-old boy came home.
Hello, Father. I've come home.
They faced each other in a Philadelphia house. Uriah Levy, the son. Michael Levy, the father.
It's you.
Yes, sir.
And did you come in through the window?
No, sir. I entered through the door.
You left through the window like a common sneak.
Only because you forced me to.
You are still insolent.
Yes, sir.
Come here. I wish to touch your cheek. Come closer.
Yes, sir.
Your cheeks are hard. Only yesterday your cheeks were round and soft with baby fat. And now you are becoming a man.
You will learn to forgive me for it.
The sea has not improved your manners.
I've learned, Father.
From your drunken companions, no doubt?
I understand the splicing of a rope.
An accomplishment.
I've learned to scull a jolly boat.
Indeed.
I've studied the heaving to of a ship in a gale of wind.
The epitome of culture.
Father, why do you bother to speak with me?
You do not cringe. I like that. You will allow not even your father to bully you. Uriah, I am not displeased with you.
I am glad to be home, Father.
Are you?
Yes, sir.
But you are planning to leave again. I can see it in your face. You do not lie. That's good.
Yes, sir.
Uriah, do you know mathematics?
No, sir.
You will learn mathematics. You will learn to box a compass and take the magnetic altitude of the sun. If you mean to be a seaman, then at least you will be an intelligent seaman.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He returned to the sea. He learned. He stood his apprenticeship on a slanting deck, his legs braced for the heave of the tides. And his eyes were a seaman's eyes and saw direct to the horizon. When he was in his middle teens, he was a bosun. When he was 18, he was a second mate on the brig Polly and Betsy. When he was 19, he shipped out on the brig Five Sisters, first mate. And on his 20th birthday, he stood on the bridge of the schooner George Washington.
Helm up one point!
Helm up a point, aye, aye, Captain!
Captain Uriah Levy. A sound sweet to the ears of a man of 20. Captain. And a captain not like other captains.
You sent for me, Chaplain?
I did, Mr. Jessup. This morning you flogged a man.
The mate keeps discipline, sir.
This morning, Mr. Jessup, you flogged a man.
He was insubordinate.
I said no flogging aboard this ship.
He refused to obey my orders.
Mr. Jessup, my orders were no flogging. You were insubordinate.
I manned the brace when you was being wet-nursed. I'm twice your age, sir.
While you're mate aboard this ship, Mr. Jessup, you'll obey my orders.
You can't have discipline without a cat of nine tails.
How do you know, Mr. Jessup?
Everyone knows. Flogging's the custom.
Not on this ship, Mr. Jessup. I'll have no brutality on this ship. I mean what I say, Mr. Jessup.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
In the year 1812, the war with England was announced. Captain Uriah Levy applied for admission into the United States Navy.
Mr. Levy, you are not a graduate of Annapolis.
No, sir.
The best we can do for you, then, is this warrant by President Madison as a sailing master.
Thank you, sir.
In the Navy of 1812, the executive officers knew little of seamanship. Their job was to fight. Navigation was entrusted to the sailing master. On the USS Argus, navigation was entrusted to sailing master Uriah Phillips Levy.
Sail! Sail off the starboard bow!
What do you make of it, Levy?
She's longer sparred and better bottomed than the French vessels in these waters.
Then you think she's English?
Yes, sir, I do.
Levy, can you overtake that ship?
Captain, we're running close-hauled and every stitch drawing.
I want that ship.
I think you can have her, Captain. She sails like a stack of hay. Bosun!
Aye, aye, sir!
Order all hands to wet down the sails!
Aye, sir!
Close to the wind.
In 6 short weeks, the USS Argus ran a gauntlet of British men of the line into the English Channel and up through the Irish Sea. She scourged British shipping and closed the Channel ports. At Lloyd's, the insurance rate doubled, then it tripled, then it soared out of sight. And 19 times, Captain Allen of the Argus announced,
Mr. Levy, you will take a boarding party aboard the prize ship.
But for 6 weeks, the crew of the Argus bore a charmed life. On August 10th, 1813, the Argus overtook and captured her 20th vessel, His Majesty's ship, Betty.
Lieutenant? I said lieutenant.
The lieutenant is below, Captain.
You are mistaken, Mr. Levy. The lieutenant is here. It is my pleasure to name you temporary lieutenant in the Navy of the United States.
Captain, I'm very proud.
You have a right to be, sir. You have earned your commission. Lieutenant, you will now take a prize party aboard the HMS Betty, repair her damage as best you can, and take her into the nearest neutral port as a prize of war.
Very good, sir.
And, Lieutenant, it's been a pleasure to have you aboard.
The boarding party never brought the prize ship to a neutral port. On August 13th, 1813, HMS Betty was recaptured by the British Navy, and Uriah Levy and the group of American seamen with him were cast into Dartmoor Prison. For 16 months, until December 1814, Uriah Levy was a prisoner of war at Dartmoor. American seamen were flogged for minor infractions of the prison rules. And Uriah Levy said,
Even in prison, civilized men must reject the use of the lash. And if we reject it here because it's cruel, what place can it have aboard a free American ship?
He became a man with an obsession. On his return to the United States.
Uriah Phillips Levy, for extraordinary merit and for extraordinary service, I commission you a permanent lieutenant in the Navy of the United States of America.
Lieutenant Uriah Levy boarded the frigate United States in the Mediterranean. He was a marked man.
You wish to see me, Lieutenant?
I do, sir. I understand that my presence on this vessel has not been welcomed.
Well, I welcome you, Lieutenant.
I thank you for it, sir. I had reference to the midshipmen in the wardroom. They're not cordial.
I'm sorry for that.
If you have no objection, sir, I wish to take my mess alone.
As you wish.
It's not my wish.
Mr. Levy, a word of advice to you.
I ask no advice, sir.
Well, how do you know what I'll tell you?
You will tell me to speak softly, to accept offense, and to suffer insult.
Uriah Levy, my advice to you is, do your duty as an officer and a gentleman. And the first man who observes a different course toward you, hold him to strict and prompt account.
Sir, thank you.
They consider it the advice of the United States Navy. Your hand, Lieutenant.
All right, Weaver, here he comes.
Mr. Levy.
You're speaking to me, Mr. Weaver?
I was not aware that there was another Levy on board.
Quite so. You have a question for me, sir.
I do. Mr. Levy, certain utterances you have made have been considered to be ill-conceived.
How's that, sir?
Item. On the second day of the month, you were overheard to suggest that flogging had no place aboard this ship.
That's true.
Item. On the 16th day of the month, you were seen destroying property of the United States government. A cat of nine tails.
How many more items do you have, Mr. Weaver?
Quite a few, sir.
And you have noted them down?
Each one, Mr. Levy.
That would give you very little time to carry on your own duties.
Weaver, I think he's got you there. Better leave him alone.
Mr. Weaver, your intention is to insult me.
It is.
Before I challenge you, I should like the courtesy of an explanation for your attitude.
Sir, you are a bumptious sailing master who has never set foot in Annapolis. Besides, you and your kind are offensive.
Mr. Weaver, I give you this as a sailing master.
You will answer for this, Levy.
No doubt. Mr. Weaver, I don't believe in flogging. However, I'm not inhibited by that belief from answering an insult.
By God,
what, Mr. Weaver? By our mutual God, what will you do? I will kill you. An excellent and honorable way to serve God.
Gentlemen, what is this disturbance? Mr. Levy, I ask an explanation.
If you please, sir. I have challenged Mr. Weaver.
Go to your quarters, Mr. Levy. You may consider yourself under arrest.
He was court-martialed. Uriah Levy was tried by a board of his peers, and the decision announced.
Mr. Levy, it is the sentence of this court-martial that you be admonished. You will stand, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Levy, you are hereby admonished. Now resume your duties as first lieutenant. Give him his sword.
The lieutenant's sword is nowhere to be found.
Good enough. I will give him my sword.
There were other court-martials for Uriah Levy. He was a stormy petrel and a pugnacious one, but he earned the respect and the admiration of his associates. Several years later, he stood on the bridge of the SS Vandalia as commander.
Mr. Gibson.
Yes, sir.
There's a record here of a flogging done yesterday before I came aboard.
The seaman in question, sir, came aboard in a state of drunkenness.
And so you had him flogged?
Yes, sir. The man's an inveterate drunkard.
Then he's been flogged before.
Yes, sir.
And in consequence, he drinks less.
No, sir. He drinks the same.
Then why is he flogged?
It's his punishment.
Ah, his punishment.
Yes, sir.
And is he to be punished today?
Another 12 lashes, sir.
Very well, Lieutenant. You yourself will administer today's flogging.
I wish to be excused, sir.
Why, Lieutenant?
I am an officer, sir. I believe I was brought up to be a gentleman. I cannot stand over a man with a whip.
Is the boatswain less a gentleman? You require him to stand with a whip. Lieutenant, my orders are to cease corporal punishment on this vessel.
May I point out, sir, that there's no navy in the world without flogging?
And this will be the first one. And this is going to be the first ship of that first navy.
His views met with approval. Slowly, the cat-o'-nine-tails began to disappear. And slowly, as the knowledge grew that corporal punishment was disappearing in the fleets and the shore establishments of the American Navy, slowly a newer type of recruit came into the service. Young men who knew that a career awaited them and not the bite of the lash. This was Uriah Levy's contribution to American democracy. Another contribution remained. He was named captain, but strangely relieved of his command. Still a pugnacious man, he went to the Secretary of the Navy.
All right, Levy. I admit there have been pressures. First, you came into the Navy as a sailing master.
Ah. I don't belong to the club.
Yes. Second, this flogging business.
But the Navy has gone along. Senator Hale has introduced a bill in Congress to eliminate corporal punishment.
Still, it's a cause for resentment. Finally, there is a third reason.
I'm a Jew.
You are, Levy. There are bigots to whom that makes a difference. Mr. Levy, I should think we cannot afford to let the Navy be run by the bigots. I am on your side.
Uriah Phillips Levy spoke before an appeal board. His statement is a part of American history.
This is the case before you. It is the case of every Israelite in the Union. Are all these to be proscribed,
while we retain in our Constitution language to be spoken to the ear, but broken to the hope. And think not, if you once enter in this career, that it can be limited to the Jew. What is my case today may tomorrow be that of the Roman Catholic or the Unitarian, the Episcopalian or the Methodist, the Presbyterian or the Baptist. There is but one safeguard, and this is to be found in the honest, wholehearted, inflexible support of the impartial guarantees of the Constitution.
The appeal board considered. A communication was sent to the Secretary of the Navy. Then, in the Mediterranean Sea, they piped a new squadron commodore, highest existing rank in the American Navy, aboard the USS Macedonian.
You may raise the flag.
On February 21st, 1860, they raised the flag over the Mediterranean fleet of Uriah P. Levy, Commodore, United States Navy. Copy of the script you have just heard, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present Mr. Stanley Garten, president of the National Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs, affiliated with the United Synagogue of America, speaking from New York City.
Commodore Levy's campaign against cruelty and oppression has an underlying significance for all Americans today. Respect for the dignity of every man, regardless of his status, is fundamental to democracy and is founded in religion. We are taught in Genesis concerning the creation of man in the image of God. The Talmud developed that narrative into the doctrine that all men have spiritual worth and should be treated considerately. No man, said our sages, should be publicly humiliated. Even an offender must not be subjected to unwarranted degradation. The spirit of these teachings is reflected in our Declaration of Independence and constitutional guarantees, justifying the statement by the historian Lecky that the American Constitution is cemented with Hebraic mortar. Commodore Levy's battle for humanitarianism was therefore in accord with both the teachings of religion and of true Americanism. Despite prejudice and insult, and at the risk of his career, he vigorously and persistently demanded humane treatment, regardless of class distinctions, for men serving our country. His moral courage in this fight recalls the biblical injunction, "Justice, justice shalt thou pursue." Commodore Levy succeeded 90 years ago because Americans sympathized with the oppressed. Today, there is urgent need of such sympathy and understanding in dealing with current problems. Loyalty to the democratic ideals, always cherished by Americans, requires that our daily life as individuals and our conduct as citizens shall serve to make these ideals become realities. Now, when more than ever before, the world looks to this country, the amelioration of the plight of the oppressed, and the endeavor to secure justice to all are the obligation and duty of all Americans.
Thank you, Mr. Stanley Garten. Eternal Light drama today was written by Morton Wishengrad and was based upon an original monograph by Dr. Abram Kanoff. Featured as Uriah Levy was Leon Janney, and Roger DeCoven was the narrator. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Kadams. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The entire production was under the direction of Maurice Robinson. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.